Get sleeves. You go on Rosh Hashanah. It's our theme. None of us dreamed what this year would be. This year has been an incredible year. A person who looks at the world as if it's just a bunch of accidents. See a lot of different accidents. Those of us who have a different view, the world sits in judgment, different view of the world. We all know the world has been radically changed by coronavirus. That's the reason we're here. Everyone knows the absolute economic devastation all over the world. Those of you a little bit familiar, I mentioned it before. Makas Arba in the world. Read the news, they say, well, it's of biblical proportions. That means it's never been seen, and they assume that that's what it was at the time of the Ezekiel. What does that mean? The Maisa, those of you who aren't familiar with world news, means in Africa, expect that 25 to 30 million people will die of starvation. Dramatically. And that's one type of arba. And a weird thing, I thought it broke the whole range of infinite wisdom. That in other parts of the world where bamboo grows, it's a bamboo arba. Entire crop in Vietnam, bamboo was destroyed. It was a major crop there. China, India, had major disasters. Economic devastation, hunger, loss of a terrible number of lives. Those of you familiar with what's happened in the United States, though, the massive social collapse of the world, certainly the United States, one of other countries. Social collapse, some moral collapse. Get there. Those of you from California, have two or three coming in from California, the forest fire in California. What does that mean? Just understand the scope of the forest fire in California. Those of you from the United States, the East Coast though, so approximately 200 miles between New York and Washington, D.C. You from the UK know it's approximately 200 miles from London to Manchester. A square area of 225 miles by 225 miles is totally destroyed. If you don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of my quote, favorite leftist politicians, United States, Mother Earth is angry. This woman professes to be a Catholic. She's a Kofa Biege. I thought your borough was angry. Economic devastation, social collapse. But a borough a year ago decided that's to shake up the world. We read in Sophronos, I read it. It was to do with the Vaad on Friday. Amadinos Voyevamar. Ezala Chere, Ezala Shoah. Yes, Friday was history. The President of the United States announced that another peace treaty he made in Israel and Bahrain. Those of you who don't know what Bahrain is, it's one of the Gulf states. United now is United Arab Emirates and the Gulf states. He's making peace. He says, the promise differently, Amadina Puyama, you've got to grow with the size of the peace. Economic devastation. 25 to 30 million people dying of hunger in Africa. That's my size economic devastation in Asia. Ezel Arov, Ezel Asoba. So if you believe Mother Earth is angry, Mother Earth is angry. Write a letter to Mother Earth, so she won't be angry. What does it mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu shaking up the world. You have to understand when the entire story of coronavirus began, I spoke to the yeshiva about Maimon Chazal, Mabul Sheldeva. This is the first time since the Mabul, long time ago, that there's been any world simultaneously worldwide devastation. There's been problems. Always one part of the world, a different part of the world. Spanish flu, 1920, 21, 22. 20 million people died. Bubonic plague. Each of these are certain societies have shaken up. Near the entire world. Shaken. Mabul Sheldeva. Rambam writes something slightly different than you read here. You read here there's a din of Medinos and there's a din on Yechidim. Rambam writes there's a din of Kol HaOlam Kulo on the Dinos and Boyechi. So a year ago, Rosh Hashanah was exiled of the world. And part of the exile's din was also about many different Medinos, or what happened to them. And it was exiled din about many Yechidim, what would happen to them. The Musa Shmuz is talking on Sunday, the idea of Arvis. All Israel are one organic unit. And each one of us is responsible for everybody else. That doesn't extend beyond Klal Yisrael. But, so in one sense, it's no din of Arvis, Rashi writes in Sanhedrin. Yomosolam. So why should Gzar Din about the Yomosolam if they're Klal Yisrael? In fact, Saint Tosefta that talks about a Mabul Sheldeva b'sof Klal Yomim says, what if Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael? So when it first began, it was some simple-minded, stupid rabble-rouser who announced nothing's going to happen to any Jews in Arab, so you don't have to take care. So, that was very early on. It's going to affect China, it's going to affect Italy. Yeah, Eretz Yisrael is safe. Eretz Yisrael is one of the worst infected countries in the world. So what decides when Zadina and Medina affects individuals? And so Din in the Olam affects very different nations and it filters down to Yechidim. Yes, a British world who's shaken up a world. And talking to Tom Medium, they're complaining this, that, many different things. It's hot, the air conditioning, you can run around, and it's modern, they don't like to be confined. Be frank with you, I spoke last night on Wednesday. In all the conversations I've had with so many Tom Medium, very few have reacted to the fact the world's been shaken up. What does that mean to me? The world was angry. What does that mean to me? The story of Lot made a decision. He left Avraham Avinu, decided to live in the city of Sodom. Now, maybe Lot didn't realize what Sodom was, so immediately the prophet says, no, he knew, but Anshistoim ro'im v'chatoim l'Hashem marot. They were very evil people. And he decided to live there. And he was the tzaddik of the city. And he still kept certain things he learned from Avraham Avinu's house. But he was respected by the people, so he identified himself. That's why what happened that day, that Rosh Hashanah said, today, I have to destroy Sodom. Why not yesterday? Why didn't he wait till tomorrow? Chazal tell us that Darshan Makol said that day they appointed Lot to be the judge of Sodom. And the only decent person in the city. So, what went wrong that night? The answer is, he was trying to be a decent, honest person in a corrupt system running a corrupt society. And he agreed to enforce all the corrupt laws about that corrupt society. He couldn't survive. He couldn't do it in an honest way. But he was so much part of that society, they agreed to that position. And as it says, the Swiss of Avram, you know, but Hashem Baruch Hu told me after he saved. So the Malach came to him and says, stone's going to be destroyed. And the Swiss of Avram, you know, we're going to take you out and save. So, as they're leaving the city, and the whole discussion, yes, leave, won't we? And finally, as dawn is breaking, they realize they have to destroy the city, they schlep him out. And they tell him a very interesting, don't look back. And his wife looked back. She looked back, she came in and said, no. They don't look back, Penti Sofer, because then you'll be destroyed together with Sodom. What did one have to do with the other? And it's very simple. If you're part of society, you identify with that society, and you feel it's part of you. If you're part of that society, you're going to be judged as part of that society. And the Zaratina in that society will fall on you. Lot left a lot back in Sodom, his friends, his business associates, his shpacha, his property. But as he's leaving, the Malachim say, we're cutting you off from Sodom, because then you're not going to be included in that Zaratina. But the moment you look back and you feel bad, you're losing your property there, you're losing your friends there, you're losing your associates there, you're losing your family there, means you still feel a connection. Then, exactly, that's going to be chorni. That's part of Al-Medina's Bo-Yei Omar. Kadosh Baruch Hu judges nations. And the people who identify with that nation I'm included in the Gzar Din. Klal Yisrael, they were in Mitzrayim. So, the Malachi Asharis told HaKadosh Baruch right before Makas Bechoros. Makas Bechoros was a devastating mark. Came by his Hashemain Shemes. Either the Bechor or the oldest in the house. And bias and shame shemes. And bias and shame shemes, unbelievable. So what were we told? We told to the Malach HaShareis, said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hey Lord, there's a difference. These were Shabbos and these were Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll show you. And he told Klal Yisrael, that's the 20% of Klal Yisrael that survived Machas Choshech, because he didn't want that 80% dying in Machas Choshech. He dying in Machas Choshech. He said, take the Avodah Zarah of the Egyptians, shaft it, but don't do it quietly. Go out, buy it to a Republican, then take the blood and post it on your doorpost. So everyone can see, I'm rejecting that Avodah Zarah. Go back to Bris Milah. What happened to Bris Milah? When Yaakov and his family came to Eretz Yisrael, everyone was Nemo. And that continued. But then one day, after the Achi Yosef died, the entire generation died. They said, Neil Kamitzer, we want to be part of Egyptian society. Egyptian society was the advanced society in the ancient world at that time. Very attractive. It was morally corrupt, snus, every piece of hashkos you can imagine. But it was very attractive. It was technically very sophisticated. It was very attractive. People came from a simple agricultural society in Eretz Yisrael. Big buildings. They still don't know how they build the turrets. They still don't know how they build the sinks. New commits. Want to be like the Egyptians, possibly Nemo. It was a physical thing that separated them from the Egyptians called Bris Milah. They wanted to be part of Egyptian society. And then they ended up slaves. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, yes, I want you to dissociate completely and entirely from anything to do with Egypt. Take care of Avodah Zarah and Shabbat. Go back to this Bris Milah that separated you from that. And stay in your house and be separate, totally separate from Egyptian. If all the Gzar Din that applied to Egypt didn't apply to them. Cheledoros. So, even though the sort of rabble-rousing rabbi, you better keep him anonymous, said, nothing will happen here, it doesn't make sense. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, the world we live in today is wrong. It's not going to continue. When this whole thing finishes, you'll see, it's not that, okay, we're getting back to what used to be. What used to be will never be again. Wake up. The old world will never be again. We have radical changes happening in the world. Compare the world 1938 to 1948. The world didn't change, it was a different world. 1938, the center of Judaism was in Europe. No one dreamed that America would come up from there. No one believed there would be a Jewish state here. And the beginning of the flourishing of something that took another 20, 30 years to mature. World changes, different world. I read a story once about the Germans were coming into Hungary. So there's a woman in her memoirs So the father told his family, we've got to get out of here. Germans are coming. And the wife said, wait a minute, I just ordered a new dining room set. In retrospect, see how ridiculous a new dining room set. Germans coming, there's no need for a new dining room set. People think the world's going to go back to it. The world's never going back. But Roman says, I don't like what's happening in this world. And the degree that we still identify with that world. We're subject to the theory of that. Now let's take a look at the world. What is the Western world about today? There's one culture. It's basically built on a total denial of the Yesodos of Yeshua. It's not only Kfir that religion is becoming more and more. Let's watch deep. What is a human being? What is a human being's obligations? To what degree are the spiritual values us? What degree is physical achievement and economic achievement the barometer of Shiva's in this world? It's a world of absolute physical worship. I read a tourist book a year ago. Avantide. The general Goyish world, the United States and Europe, advertising. Come and visit Tel Aviv, the temple of the body. Tel Aviv is a place where they glorify the body more than any other place in the world. Anyone familiar with the corrupt, this Muslim world, the acceptability of violation of all aspects of Kedusha, of morality. It's a world that's, anyone who understands what's happening in the United States, now it's like a destruction of all morality. On any level. Rocking years will keep them more comfortable. To the degree that we identify as part of that world, our goals are the goals of that world. The worship of money is the worship of money in that world. And unfortunately, in our society, that worship of money is a magefa. Sukkis. How many families are going to make their own sukkah for the first time this year? They can't go to all the hotels. How many people made a seder in their home for the first time last Pesach? They can't go to the hotels. They didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden had to buy Pesach kelim. We live in a world that our society is so shot through full of a worship of material success, a denial of spiritual values. We've adopted the corrupt Western world. I say corrupt Western world. Just understand the world. I read the news quite carefully. One talent we were supposed to get from Portland, Oregon, to end up not coming here. Portland, Oregon's a city in total collapse. So the leftist protests all over. And there was a right-wing protest against a leftist protest, and someone showed up with a baseball cap saying, MAGA, those who don't know, make America great again, those who follow Donald Trump. And the leftist shot him. He was killed. Not only was he killed, but he was killed, so people, all these liberal people, the very human values, and cheering and dancing. I read an article by a professor of philosophy, University of Rhode Island, explaining the moral justification for it. And if you believe that there's any morality in any of the stupid philosophy things you'll ever read, I've been there, I've seen it, totally corrupt people. People are still very attractive. You have to understand that the Western world, their values of materialism, twisted materialism, Rakin Yurusalakim Bamokamazem Baharagunim. It's time for us to realize that Baruch Hu is shaking up the world. Baruch Hu is talking to us by shaking up the world. Tisha B'Av, when I talked, I mentioned a very frightening thing. That's about the period we're in as we enter Rosh Hashanah. Chazal tell us that the period of Erev, year before Shemitah, Erev Shemitah, Shemitah, Motzei Shemitah, these 3 years are suitable to radical changes in the world. Take a look the past 100 years. What's happened in these years? 1917 was Shemitah. It's the year the United States entered the First World War. 1918 was Shemitah. That's when the First World War was finished. 1924, you may not know what happened in 1924. There was a bill passed in the United States Congress that sealed the fate of all of European Jewry. That until then there'd be free immigration. It stopped free immigration. That prevented Jews from subsequently coming into the United States to escape Hitler and Marshall. 1931, let it begin. 1932. That's the year when the Deep Depression set in. You keep going. 1938, 1939, Kristallnacht, beginning of the First World, Second World War. Atom bombs dropped in Shemitah. We're entering, what does that mean? There are certain times Baruch Hu shakes up the world. When he shakes up the world, it says, if you react possible, if you react properly, then we can build on it and proceed towards Geula. We have to take the message. This year, I finally understood as a Marcus. How is it possible that all of this happening, and people don't get shaken up. Then I see the world in absolute chaos. No attention. Because people keep doing what they do. No, it's a this, it's a this, it's a this, it's a this, it's a this. Rabosa. The world's being shaken up. It's never going back to what it once was. The world that you knew and grew up in will never be again. What it's going to look like, no one knows. What it's going to look like for us is depends on how we react to it. That's why, as we approach Yom Adin, just think of last year when we said, Eizu Acherev, Eizu Ashova. And when we said, Sanatokev Kedushas Hayom, Noah Avelio. Rosh Hashanah Yikosevon. We learn some people here, Hosein. Kamayar, who's going to die? Who's going to be born? Yichya Miyomis. In Kitzov Lopikis. Miba Mayim, Miba Eish, Miba Cherem, Miba Chayim. Miberov, Miberzom, Miberash, Mibamagefa. I don't think we're going to die from a Magefa. That was decided last year, Rosh Hashanah. This entire thing that's happened to the world. What about the economic discipline? May only, may Yosh. Are you going to be rich this year or not? Think it's up to your status? Fine, I think so. If you make money, you give yourself a pat on the back that you're smarter than the next guy. It says he did come. He only in the ocean. You don't become a Mr. Choshen in the world. No. You shuffle the yard. The idea of the din? Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided last year, Miba Magefa. That there will be a Magev. Close to 1 million people have died so far in the world as diagnosis of the illness. Economic devastation because of Corona, because of all the riots in America. We've had successful businesses. Talking to a Talmud of mine, the Rav in the city of Portland, Oregon. I said, so how does it all affect the new Kehila? He says, well, it's far away, but the number of my Balabatim, my other businesses downtown, reduced the poverty. Successful businessmen. All of a sudden, the Shigayans sweat their business. And who made that decision? You think of some writing in that case? No. So what we said last year in the Sanatokim. We only eat from the ocean. But if Rose is being a Xavier, and he's screaming out to us the whole side, it's not what this leftist politician in California had to say. Mother Earth is angry. How could it Rose was angry? If Rose says, I don't like the world the way it is, change. And to the degree that we identify with all the goals of the materialism and all the hashkosa and stupid intellectual nonsense that they invent. As tonight, my wife was talking to the wife of one of my Talmidim, says, well, she has a niece, Columbia University, and the professor gave a whole hour lecture justifying all the destruction of all the businesses that went on in New York during the riots. It's morally correct. Anyone who thinks you're going to learn Yesh Torah B'Goyim, going to learn any morality there, any values there, making a mistake. The degree to which we identify with that world, with the gross materialism of the world, the denial of all spiritual values in that world. So we get caught up in that sin against them. And Rome does not want the world the way it is. Grossly materialist, devoid of any spiritual content, full of snus. You have no part of it. So when we stop and make a cheshbon nefesh, we go into slichus. Stop and think. How much of your goals of your life, as you're developing them now, a very key moment of your life, developing what your life is going to look like from the next 120 years. Is that vision, is that goal determined by what the Torah says is important? Or somehow you're part of a Western society? Are you part of that society that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, forget it? And he's shaking up the world will never be the same. Sometimes for 9 markets. Everyone shook up and sighed. When in the, what if people wake up, they got up the next day and they keep going just like nothing happened. For 9 times, Moshe Rabbeinu said, this is exactly what's going to happen. And it happened. And Paro says, get rid of it. What happened the next morning? Everyone back to the normal thing. Until they give a marker, which is the marker. Marcus Bechoros. And then they're shaken up, get out of here. We got the message. But then what happens? After 3 days, they forgot that message. They forgot that message. Again, all of a sudden, they began chasing Claudius. Now, all the animals had died during Barak. Where'd they get the horses for the chariots? For Malas. Haigoris Var Hashem. Rojori Darshan Hanius. Where was from there? The people took the message of Moshe Rabbeinu that there was going to be a Barak. Moshe Rabbeinu Dam Svadeya Kinyan Barro Devin Shrin. Everything comes through. Then he says, you know, it's going to be a bird that's going to destroy every animal. Put the animals in the house. You're telling me what to do. Why should I listen to you? What to do? There were a few of the Yorid Varashem who did put their animals in the house. But everyone else, what we call in English, cognitive dissonance. Get all the messages and it goes all right by. Those people who did get the message, but there are two types of messages. They got a message from Moshe Rabbeinu, save your money. Then something else happened. They woke up the day after they complied, so lot, where are all our slaves? What's happening to our economy? So then they went charging after clients. They didn't get the message until everyone was destroyed. We live in a world devoid of any moral value. We live in a world devoid of any spiritual value. We live in a world of twisted ideas and intellectualism and gross materialism. And to the degree that we're part of those goals of the world, that we make our decisions based on the decision-making part of that world, so expect to be treated as part of that world. And Rosh Hashanah Yikoseivon, Yom Sakipu Yechoseivon, Hamayavu and the Kamivarei, Yechil Yomos, and the Kitso Vilo Bekitso, Yibamayim Yibareish. The other day was the anniversary of 9/11, September 11th. Remember, it's right before Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah and Perek Yeshaya. At a certain point, the prophet was going to knock down the towers to destroy human ego. What was the response to the instructions from Tavis? Well, we have a bigger Tavis. Of a Niva Mayim Niva Esh, decided by a better world. Yiva Magefo, May Onyu May Osh. It's time we took these words very, very seriously. I told you a number of times, the best rules to say for I know is the sitter in the matzah. And din means something. We're going to a Yom HaDin. Dimly implies something that people do not always take that seriously, called Hashgacha process. Kodesh Baruch Hu runs this world down to the finest detail. And he does it in response to our misses and our things. And since he runs this world down to the finest detail, when we sit in Din, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, you'll have a good year, you'll have a bad year. X, Y, Z, etc. No, if I'm going to do something to the world, it will be included, it won't be included. If I'm doing something to American, British, South African, Israeli society, are you part of it or not part of it? Or your presence is also. I'm a Jew. I don't belong to anyone. I don't share anything else. No, go to the mountain. Go to the furnace. Read in the Sanatokif. Kodesh Baruch Hu. Next Shabbos. Sits in Din. And he's going to ask you a simple question. What degree do you belong to me? Do you belong to somebody else? It's the main question he asks. You belong to me, it means you belong to the Torah. Your values come from the Torah. Your goals come from the Torah. You belong to someone else. Your values come from a different system. Your goals come from a different system. What do you belong to? And nowadays, that's the most important question. We have to be ready to answer for Kodesh Baruch Hu. Especially at a time that the world is being shaken up and torn to pieces. And don't think the world will ever go back to what it once was. And the most frightening thing when I look at what's happening in the world, sometimes I know too many of our Chazal. I don't talk about a mammoth endeavor, economic devastation, social collapse. It's all happening in front of us. It's happening around the street. We're finishing this Rosh Hashanah, next Shabbos, Erev Shemitah begins. Those three critical years. It'd be years of great destruction, years of great revival. An important year in Israeli history. But how far it goes depends on our reaction. Times when Hashem Shmita shakes up the world around Shemitah, we have to take these lessons deeper. People talk Mashiach. So Chazal tell us, after Ramos Endeavor, there is such devastation that that everyone is just going to throw up their hands and say, Elohim Yisrael, Hashem Shemai, Hashem Yisrael Melech. At this point, I think an awful lot of shaking up to get there. So I'm not talking, not a big Mashiach talk, I mean, it's Hashem Mashiach will come on Kodesh Baruch Hu besides. I'm talking about everyone's personal Mashiach. Let's take the lessons from the world being shaken up. Kodesh Baruch Hu was deeply unhappy. Not Mother Earth was unhappy, such a pagan idiot said that. Kodesh Baruch Hu was unhappy. We have to say he's unhappy with the world. How have we taken the messages the world sends and made that part of us? And how much do we tell the world goodbye? Our messages come just from Torah. That is the way we should be preparing for this Yom HaDin.